5. I've called it a Christian catalog. Now, a catalog can contain a lot of different things, but what this is a catalog of Christian behaviors. And in your bulletin this morning, on the top of the page, I've given you a different Christian catalog from, I think, what was it, 1 Peter? Yeah, and so there's different ones of these in the Bible, but since we've been going through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we've got kind of a catalog of things. And so I thought I'd go through this with you very quickly this morning. You'll be amazed how quickly this is, unless I disappoint myself. So, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and I've given you the words here on your page, so you can look up in your Bible. You're welcome to do that or to follow along on the message notes. But Paul says there that we're to admonish the unruly, and I've given you the word also from another translation, irresponsible. And so we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to be talking to each other. We're supposed to be talking turkey with each other, telling the truth to one another. And so we try to help one another, and if we spot where somebody is being irresponsible, well, that's a harder conversation, and it's not the only conversation we have with people, but we should talk to one another. Hey, you need to address this. Now, there's different cases, right? And some people can't fulfill all of their responsibilities, and there's a reason why, and maybe they just need help. But sometimes if somebody is just being lazy, well, that's a different thing. And so we've got four different kinds of people, or at least three, in this first list. Encourage the faint-hearted, the discouraged, and people do get discouraged. And they don't need to be yelled at when they're discouraged. They need to be encouraged, right? And so we change our tone at different times with different people. Sometimes people just need somebody to sit down and listen to them. And the reason I'm not spending much time with these is they don't need to be explained much. But we need to be reminded to do these things. Help the weak. And so we look around and we say, who needs help? And that's something that Christian congregations do. We might do that in the congregation. We might do that outside the congregation as well. Look around your neighborhood. Help the weak. Help those who need help. And so that's just one of the Christian graces of how we're to live in this world. The last one is just unreasonable. Says, be patient with everyone. Come on, Paul. Do you really mean that? Be patient with everyone. I was talking to somebody about that this morning. Was that you, Ron? I was talking about... That's a terrible phrase. And also from God. We are to be patient with everyone. Do you find that it's easy to be patient with some people more than others? Do you know the person that you're most patient with? Yourself. And it's the other people. You know, I've got flaws, but they are not as obvious to me as my wife's flaws. She's in the nursery. I doubt that she's even listening. I think she turns the speaker down back there. But that's the way we are. And so we need to learn to show patience not just with ourselves, but we need to learn to show patience with other people. And so we try again with people. Jesus said to, when asked how many times should we forgive, Jesus said 70 times 7. I can't even do that kind of multiplication. And so it's a lot. If you forgive somebody 490 times, you are a saint. That is patience, and it's only what Jesus said to do. The other thing that we have to remember about this, and it's a point that I should make here at the beginning as well, is how patient has God been with you? How patient has God been with me? How many times has he told me and I didn't listen? Or I said I would do something and I didn't do it. And yet God is patient with us. And when we remember the gospel, and the starting point is the gospel. The Christian catalog isn't a program to teach people to be better, to have better manners. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is that God reached out to us in Christ to redeem us, and now as redeemed people, there's a Christ-like way to live. And as God has shown patience to us, we also ought to show patience to everyone, it says. So keeping going now. I've given you boldface print on places in this catalog where it's a don't do this. There's a lot of do this, but don't do this. And so in 5:15 it says, see that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. It seems to me the tone of that sentence there in a church, that we as a congregation, if we see somebody doing the payback thing in the congregation, we need to step up and say, hey, we don't do that here. Because it will destroy the unity of the congregation. You can't have a payback system. And so I won't say anything more about that. We'll keep going, because I told you you'd be surprised at how quick I was. Next, I call these personal and internal disciplines. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Well, we've already talked and sung a little bit about rejoicing always. Pray without ceasing. That word ceasing was used back in chapter 1, verse 2 of Thessalonians. So now we've got it at the outer ends of the envelope. It kind of surrounds this whole letter to the Thessalonian believers, these young believers in the Lord. And one of the things that Paul is telling them is keep doing what you're doing. Keep it up. Be steady. Be consistent. Pray without ceasing. And Paul said back in 1:2, he says, I pray all the time for you people. I pray constantly for you people. Same word that's used here, pray without ceasing. I wrote in my newsletter this week about a difference between prayerfulness and mindfulness. I hope you read that. You may not agree perhaps with everything that I said, but I make a strong argument for the importance of prayer in the life of the Christian. Christians are people who pray, and Christians who don't pray are a contradiction of terms. And so pray without ceasing. The last one, in everything give thanks, just heard again the story of Corrie ten Boom. She lived in the, I believe, in Netherlands during the Holocaust, during the time of the Nazi invasion. She and her family hid Jews in their house. And when she was found out to be hiding Jews in her house, she and her sister were sent to one of the concentration camps. And as she went to the concentration camp and she was put in this barracks that was just terribly overcrowded with people, she says to her sister, oh, this is terrible. This is unbearable. And her sister said to her, Corrie, we've got to give thanks for everything. God says, give thanks for everything. And Corrie said, I can't give thanks for this. She says, no, but we must. And so they began to do that. And then they were able to start a little orchestra in the camp. They were able to share Bible scriptures and have a Bible study there in the camp. And they turned out to be a blessing. But I don't know if we can turn out to be a blessing in hard situations if we aren't first thankful people. So be thankful even in the hard situations. Now we come to another negative, do not quench. And in the Holman Standard Translation, it says there, or stifle the spirit. So don't quench the spirit, and secondly, don't despise prophetic utterances. First of all, in the first one, don't quench the spirit. What does that mean? Well, when we live according to the flesh, as Paul gives us that distinction between flesh and spirit, flesh is what? Flesh is self-sufficiency. Flesh is though it's all up to me and I can do whatever I set my mind to. And so that's the flesh. It's living on autopilot, or it's living away from the direction of God and the help of God because I can do this myself. So that would be one of the things that stifles the spirit or quenches the spirit when we live with self-sufficiency. Of course, the other thing, even more obvious than that, is when we live in sin. The Holy Spirit's been given to us by the Lord, right, to inhabit our hearts. And then when we harbor sin in our hearts, we're asking the Holy Spirit and sin to share space. It doesn't work well. And God has a way about him is that he does let us do what we will and wish and decide to do. And so we aren't prohibited from sinning. But don't expect the blessing of the Spirit in your life if you're going to harbor sin in your heart. And so these are bold face again. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Again, there could be a lot of different interpretations of this, but it's somebody who says, this is what the Lord says. And so they just remind you, this is what God says. This is what God wants. This is what God has made clear. Sometimes these prophetic utterances, a person might say, and so therefore, this is what we should do in this situation, applying the word of God. And it says, don't despise that. It doesn't say, accept everything, just if you hear it, do it. The very next phrase down in 5:21 says, but examine or test everything. So you have to say, does his advice really square with the word of God? And if God says that we should do this, then we should do this. So don't despise prophetic utterances, but 5:21, examine, test everything. And then in the end of 21 and 22, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain, stay away from every form of evil. And we'll come to that a little bit in the next exercise as well in a couple of moments. Abstain means, you know what it means. It doesn't say play around with it, but don't let it bite you. It doesn't say that. It says abstain from every form of evil. Keep your distance. Okay, so that's that part of it. We'll go move into prayer requests at this point and have our offering this morning. And we've got a number of things to pray about. Tomorrow.